The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia. Visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Hi, this is Jim.
And this is Max.
Check out our podcast, The Step Over, the Liberty Ballers Podcast Network, for all of your Sixers needs.
Player analysis, game breakdowns, who would look coolest in a headband, and more.
Subscribe to Liberty Ballers Podcast feed on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts, and check out The Step Over, a podcast about Sixers basketball.
Mostly.
Welcome into At the Podium, episode 15, brought to you by the fine folks at SB Nation and Bleeding Green Nation. I am your host, Michael Kist, and today we got a new face on the show. Of course, that's Nick Foles talking about his return to the starting role and what it meant for him and his team. By the way, I love his line that you win in the fourth quarter by loving each other. It's kind of hokey, but it just speaks to his calm demeanor. His press conference is bracketed by the two pressers from Doug, one from right after the game and one from the morning after. He started out by saying that the difference was that the team played for 60 minutes. It's been something that I've hammered on other shows, and it's certainly true in this case. Both Doug and Foles mentioned that it was a complete team game, and it's true. The offensive line allowed their lowest pressure rate of the year, just under 22%. The defense created enough pressure and forced two turnovers. The special teams recovered a fumble. They also stopped the fourth down fake punt, and all that along with putting up some points on the board, and they played bell to bell. So super encouraging performance from this team. They have life again. They are in the hunt, and we'll be breaking it down all here on Bleeding Green Nation throughout the week as always. So keep it here. And in the meantime, let's get to these press conferences, starting with Doug after the game. And a quick warning, post-game press conferences are always tricky because you're dealing with different environments. In this case, the Los Angeles setting here was particularly noisy, so I did my best to limit that background noise while also not blowing your eardrums out. So the first two of these are going to be a little in and out from the reporter to coach and player, but it gets better with the last Doug presser, of course. So, all right, our qualifiers out of the way. Let's get to it.
The difference, we played for 60 minutes, quite frankly. We finished the football game like we expect to do each week, and great all around in all three phases. I mean, we thought coming in that there was going to be some opportunity. This Ram defense is extremely potent. They got some talent. They got some rushers up front. And it, you know, what opens things up is the ability to run the football, I think. And in the first half, we had some success doing that, even in the third quarter. And it just opened up a few down-the-field throws that we were able to capitalize on and made some nice plays.
What did you notice about how the players responded to the
ball? I thought that it was positive. Just kind of getting back into a rhythm, you know, with him, and it's been a while since week two of the season that they played together, but they had a lot of confidence, a lot of trust in him, and it showed tonight.
Doug, winning out here is not so easy, and especially with all the injuries, the way the season has gone for you, how proud are you of your players, of your team, to come in here, pull it out, keep things alive for you guys?
That's just what I told them in the locker room, just how proud I was. The way they continue to fight, how they block out the outside noise and just focus on the group. And this is a tremendous team win tonight against a great football team. And, you know, our backs were against the wall, and our guys came out and came out aggressively, and we're fortunate enough to be going away with a win and move on to the next one. Yeah, Avante's he's a really good player for us, and it was good to get him back out there this week. And he's a smart guy to play multiple positions and do the things that he's been capable of doing. I think it's just a credit to him. But he trusts his coaches, he trusts the scheme on defense, and puts himself in a position to make plays, and that's what he's done. He's done a nice job. Yeah, I mean, I thought all the backs really did a nice job. Wendell is always had a lot of confidence in Wendell, and he did a nice job tonight. I really felt like the offensive line did some nice things and kind of controlling the line of scrimmage at times and opening up, you know, a few of those gaps and those lanes, and he just hit it and hit it hard and did a nice job.
Kind
of came out of last week's game really against the Cowboys and just wanted to kind of get back to our basics, our fundamentals, regardless of who was playing. This was before, anything about Carson. And we just wanted to get back to the things that we were successful at and good at and what the guys really knew and understood. And so we really didn't have to change or tweak much during the week. And I thought that, Nick played solid, and did the things that we asked him to do. And he had a good week of preparation and it showed tonight. We're going to enjoy this win. We're going to get on this plane. We're going to enjoy it. We'll take a couple days and we'll make those decisions later in the week. Not at this time. Not at this time. Yeah, I really think the O-line, I mean, this is a good defensive line that our O-line has played, and they really rose to the challenge, did some nice things and really kept our quarterback, kept Nick clean, and I think too is a credit to Nick just being able to, get the ball out, and I dialed up a few more quick throws and the ability to run the ball too on some of those third downs to run the ball and have some success really. Also helped in the pass protection game.
As a coach, how satisfying when you see your guys rise up with the season on the line and pull out a win like they did?
Yeah, I mean, it's very satisfying. And like I said, our backs have been against the wall now for the last few weeks. And hopefully this is now a little momentum for the rest of our season. And our goals are still in front of us. We're still making a push here at the end and two games to go. And we'll see what happens, but very satisfying.
Thoughts on that last play, watching them with 4 seconds left, they had a shot.
Where are you? Sorry. Oh, there you are.
Very deep. 4 seconds left, last shot. Avante was on Reynolds. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, Jim had dialed up a blitz at the time just to kind of, force Jared to possibly, release the ball. It was five-man protection and just release the ball a little bit sooner. And we were playing right at the goal line. It was – a last shot into the end zone, and Avante was in good position.
Couple more, please.
Well, I think that what you saw tonight was a total a team effort from all three phases, offense, defense, and then of course our special teams came up huge at the end with the fumble recovery on the punt, and so. It's not about one guy, and it never has been. It's about the team, and that's what that locker room in there focuses on. They just focus on, they don't focus on the result. They focus on the process and trusting everybody, and it really doesn't matter. And that's what you saw tonight was a really good team effort.
You mentioned the guys' ability to block out the noise this week. How hard was that since you have that obviously very unique
to all the time? Yeah, I mean, it's a tough thing, you have to change QBs and go a different way. But I think it's a credit to, each guy, really just, again, focus on the things that we can control. you know, focus on our process that we talk about quite a bit, lean on one another. And you saw it tonight. You know, I mean, you saw those guys play together as a team, as units, and it was a fun game to be part of.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, guys.
I'm extremely proud of our team. You know, it was a complete team game. It was a complete team win. And that's one of the best teams in the NFL right now. And they showed it. Playing against them every single play, they were bringing it. But I'm really proud of the guys for facing adversity. That's what we preached this week was, you know, in any game, there's going to be adversity. There's going to be things that happen. Just, you know, leaning on one another, sticking to one another, sticking with one another. And that's what we did today. There was a couple adverse things, but we were able to create turnovers. I had the one, you know, Talib made a great play on that interception, but we bounced back and we kept playing. And, you know, that's really what Eagle football is about.
How much does this help you keep believing that you guys can make the playoffs despite what the odds look like?
Yeah, I mean, I think the big thing is also we focus on the moment. So, you know, we don't need to worry about that. All we got to worry about now is, you know, getting back to Philly, getting our bodies right, prepping, and going back at it, and we'll just see what happens. You know, there's a couple of times where, you know, just reading the defense, letting him go get a chance. I mean, he's a great player. He's shown that he can make those plays, and he made them tonight for me and helped me out a lot.
It's the first time you've played with him this year.
Yeah.
If I remember, he didn't play those first two games. No. How were you able to kind of get that chemistry back so quickly with him?
I mean, you know, I watched all the practices, you know, been doing the scout team. And I know the guys. I mean, you go out there, I'm a thrower. I just read their body language and throw the ball. You know, they made a lot of great plays. Alshon went up and made some, you know, great catches as well. We were able to spread the ball around. That was important. And we were also, the line did a great job of, you know, we were able to run the ball really well too. So I thought, you know, with Doug's play calling, keeping them off balance, giving them different looks, you know, we were able to execute at a high level.
Follow to that, you spent the past 12, 13 weeks in the background. What was this past week like for you?
Well, it was really emotional. I mean, anytime, you know, you hate for your teammate to get hurt. I've said before, you know, I feel really bad for Carson. I mean, we're tight in that QB room. But then when you don't really know what's going to happen. You start taking reps. It's been a while. You go through the human emotions. I don't care what you've done in the past or what I've done in the past. It doesn't matter when you step on that field. It's a new day. So, it was really just dealing with the emotions, prepping as hard as I could, and then realizing I'm not alone. I have great teammates out there. All I have to do is spread the ball around, lean on them, stay in the moment, and we were able to do that tonight. You know, it's a huge win for us.
Nick, it looked like you took three really big hits. Is that any more or less than that?
Each game's different. You know, sometimes you get a bunch of little hits. Sometimes you don't get hit much, and there are a couple big ones. Today was they got a couple good licks on me, but, you know, I'm perfectly fine.
As far as learning how to stay engaged, like Zach said, you hadn't played in 12 weeks. Kind of going out there and still getting better, even if you're not playing.
Yeah, I mean, my role has been different the last 12 weeks. You know, with the scout team and then just helping guys in the locker room or whatever it may be, watching practice, watching, you know, obviously you're in all the installs, you know, the offense just in case something happens. And then, you know, when I'm called upon, just going out there and you got to trust my, you know, read and react. I have to trust my instincts. And like I said, I lean on my teammates and realize I'm not out there alone. So it's all those things. There's a lot going on in the head, but I was able to simplify it. And that's the key is, you know, when things are going on in your head and there's a lot, you know, you tend not to play that well. The thing was simplify what's going on in my head and just play fast.
Is there any nervousness at all to the fact that you took over the same field that you took over last season?
I know that's going to be the story. But no, it's a new year. It's a new team, different situation. You know, at the end of the day, I always talk about staying in the moment. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And, you know, we're going to enjoy this. This was a great team win. Just seeing the excitement in the locker room. It's been a crazy year. And, you know, we're going to keep fighting. We're going to keep working. We're going to keep growing. I lost my senior year. We came back from, we were down by quite a bit. Unfortunately, we lost, but my sophomore year, we were able to upset USC here, so that was a good memory.
How much do you pride being the guy that saved the day?
I don't really thrive on it. It's just sort of the way things have fallen. Once again, it's not about me. I have great teammates, great organization, great coaches, and we were able to rally together. That's the thing that I love about being an Eagle is, you know, we lean on each other. Adversity does hit. What are you going to do? You see teams when adversity hits start turning on each other. There's a couple moments in this game that were pretty big, and there was never any turning on each other. Say, hey, we got you. Hey, offense, go, hey, we got you, D. Like, that's what it's about. So I don't thrive. I just, you know, enjoy being a part of this team.
This is our first 50-yard pass outside. What were you going to see another play? Have you ever seen a play like that where you have two guys behind
them? I'm pretty sure I was seeing Ndamukong Suh and then just hoping that Alshon was where he was going to be. So I had a quick reaction. I was able to see the safety sort of void and just let it rip. It was hard to see much. I just let Alshon go make a play. That was the key.
Within the emotional conversations, like with Carson, especially once you have a new injury, you started.
You know, I think the big thing is we've been together the last, couple years. Just being there for one another, going through the game plan together. Obviously, this is unfortunate for him, but I also know that, he's going to bounce back and whenever that may be. And, he's going to be better for it. That's just how he handles his business, and that's something I respect about him.
Within the emotion of the past week, did you consider the big picture part of this and what this could mean for your future at all?
No. That part does creep in. I do say there is a human side, but no. I'm very self-aware of those distractions don't do you any good, and I think a big part of that was a couple years ago, going to step away from the game. I really thrive in staying in the moment and just enjoying it, and we'll see what happens. But I really just want to enjoy the moment and just being present in all I do. That's what I try to focus on daily.
Talk about simplifying things in your head. What do you mean exactly?
I mean, when you step on a field, I mean, it's emotional. There's a lot going on. It's Sunday night football. You're in L.A. I think honing in on being in the huddle, not worrying about the score, not worrying about the clock, because that can affect your tendencies of reading different plays, forcing different things, and just playing. There's different things I do. I'm like I said, you got to be self-aware. You got to know your tendencies. I know where I fall short, but it's just going in that huddle. Just that's my sanctuary. That's where I'm going to be. I just want to be with those guys. No matter what happens during the game, not worrying about the score, not worrying about the clock, just playing. So,
as you've discussed with us a few times, you have your own unique leadership style. How did you kind of put your stamp on the team this week? What did you do to get them to rally around you?
Not much. It's just being there for the guys, just going in the huddle, taking a hold of it. But really just me, communication's big. Me showing love to the guys is big. The way you win games in the fourth quarter, in my opinion, is you love one another. You work, you care for one another. It's hard to win. It's hard to win in the NFL. I always say, especially against a team like this. So what you see there, and that's why we don't turn on each other, is those relationships. So I just step in the huddle on me. I'm not going to try to be – I'm not a big rah-rah guy. I just want to be who I am and just makes it easy.
Zach Ertz was saying that you were reaching that state of the moment kind of ball week. How much better are you personally at that with the experience of the last couple of years than maybe 3, 4, 5 years ago?
I think in every life experience you learn something. And, through the last couple of years, absolutely. I've learned that, being present, being in the moment, is important, because I think today, there's so many distractions. I mean, phones, all the Instagram, Twitter, everything. Like, you get distracted. You get the lights, everything, even this. But just being in the moment and being present, there's something that's really special about that if you can do it. And then, being a husband and a father, being present at home, I mean, that makes my days, even better, is when I can go home and just be present and just block out football when I get there. And, then I can be – I'm actually a better football player because of that.
All right. So. Good afternoon.
Well, I guess we'll start with the obvious. Have you made a decision on the quarterback situation yet?
I have.
And who is it?
It'll be Nick. Yeah.
And what factors led to that?
Well, where Carson is health-wise, and just another week of rest for Carson will help him, and so made the decision to go forward with Nick.
Is there consideration of putting Carson on IR, or are you just going to...
We will not put Carson on IR, yeah.
Hey, Doug, from your standpoint, as a play caller, game planner, last year, having gone through this, how much did it help you to get Nick ramped up to speed? How much did it help you?
First of all, you need a new hat.
What's wrong with Arizona?
You know, a lot of it, I don't know if I've said this, but after the Cowboy game, Mike Groh and I got together and really, we wanted to kind of condense, the plan just a little bit for the guys. We felt like, and that we just needed to kind of get back to the basics, excuse me, just a little bit. And so this was before, you know, Carson Nick deal last week, we decided to go forward with that and put together a game plan that would be conducive for anybody, you know, quite frankly, any of our quarterbacks. And so I think that's what you saw that came out of the game, which was a credit to Mike and putting the plan together like he did. And you know, gave Nick, as we go through the week last week, or went through the week, every opportunity to comment on the game plan, if there's things he didn't like, just like we would with Carson, you know, and there were a couple things, but, for the most part, he felt comfortable with it. You know, didn't really have to change a whole lot or at least go back, you know, to last season to pull anything from last year. And, again, I felt like coming out of this football game, it was just a team effort, you know. I mean, it was offensive line, you know, the receivers, backs, defense. I mean, it was just special teams, just a great team effort.
Fewer pre-snap motions was the plan even before you knew what the quarterback was. But when you're taking away from them, taking those away, or some of them, doesn't that give the quarterback a little less information, you know, man zone? And why can you get away with doing that?
Yeah, it can take it away, but it also, by formation, putting guys in certain pre-snap formation positions can also tell man zone. So you don't necessarily have to have a motion or a shift to tell that. It's all based on the film study and how we want to align. So, and then you're going into a loud environment and all the moving parts. If you notice, you know, even last night in the second half, we had a couple of penalties. We were moving some guys around. We got some holding penalties and things. And so we felt like, too, just, you know, let everybody kind of be stationary the best we could and let you know, Nick kind of settle into the game that way.
So, you said you will not put Carson on IR. When we last talked to you, you said it would take maybe 3 months for this to heal. Does that mean that you've gotten good news since then? Has the time frame sped up? Did you see more doctors? Have you gotten more opinions?
Well, it's a couple of things. We've gotten a little more information. And two, this is probably why I don't like to put timetables or put players in boxes. So things have changed just a little bit. So, you know, he'll be listed as week to week. We will not put him on IR. And, you know, obviously when he's healthy, he's our quarterback, and we'll go from there.
The information you got? Is there a possibility that he plays without the stress situation being completely healed if there's no danger of further damage?
Well, and that's something we'll continue to monitor with him and our doctors and make that determination when we can.
Did you plan any falls the next two games?
This week for sure. Yeah.
What was the information you got? And was it positive?
Yeah, it was positive. We just continue to gather information like we do on all our athletes and all our players. You know, the information is favorable and it's something that, it was positive for him, positive for us. But at the same time, we got to make sure that he's, you know, 100% or better before we put him back out there. But, right now, he'll be listed as week to week and go from there.
Have you got a sense that this is, again, difficult for him to watch?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's tough. I mean, listen, he's such a competitor, and he's won a bunch of games for us here, and he will continue to win a bunch of games for us. And, you know, the thing is with Carson, as much as a competitor, he's so giving of himself. You saw him in the game last night, how engaging he was with myself. He was engaging with Nick. and very supportive that way, as tough as it is. And that's a credit to him.
Sometimes you see in sports, especially football with a backup quarterback, the team plays better because there's no Superman there. There's no superhero. There's no Carson Wentz. So, okay, Nick's playing. He's not Carson. Maybe we play a little bit better across the board. Do you feel that that's what happened the last two summers with your team? Because you keep going back to saying it's, and last year you said as well, it's a team win, all three phases. Everybody played well. It seems like that's a repeating or recurring instance with Carson versus Nick.
Yeah, and I think, too, anytime we win, it definitely truly is a team win, regardless of who's playing quarterback. But, you know, the other thing, too, is our backs are against the wall, too, as a football team. And we know the nature of where we are, what needs to be done. And I think you saw a little bit of that last night, just how well this team kind of came together in all three phases, quite frankly, to get this win against a great football team and a good football team. So, you know, every win is cherished and appreciative and hard fought, and you know, we just try to get the next one.
Sorry, Doug, you just touched on it there, but this team did look a lot more settled going into the game on all three phases. Can you try to pinpoint maybe something that happened during the week that allowed this team to kind of have that more even keel composure?
Yeah, I think, you know, coming off, of course, we had the two wins, the Giants, the Redskins, and then a tough Cowboys loss in overtime. And sometimes as a coach, you're concerned with another long West Coast road trip, and will there be any kind of a letdown, especially after, you know, our defense was on the field for almost 100 plays, you know, the week before. But, you know, we as a team, we really stay committed to our process and to what our task at hand is. And, you know, I challenged the leaders of the football team last week to stay engaged, to motivate the young players, to come to work every day, you know, excited and get ready for another long, you know, road trip. And so as the week progressed last week, each day got just a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And by Friday, I felt that guys' energy were back, you know, from the week before. Saturday's walkthrough was one of the best, even though it was a walkthrough set. I didn't even say walkthrough, it was more of a jog through, but very spirited, kind of upbeat. And the guys were looking forward to going out there and facing the Rams team. And it's just been a credit to, I think, the coaches and players for staying engaged.
As a follow-up to that, as much as we talk to you about, you know, schemes and game management and personnel decisions, how important is, for your job, getting the team in kind of the right state of mind for games?
I think it's huge, you know. I think part of my job is to make sure that the team still understands the goals at hand and what's right there in front of us, you know. And I think it's important that we maintain that vision and have that vision. We're still playing for something, and then of course the players have to embrace that and go play. So I think it's a big part of the messaging to the team, you know, each week. And they responded well.
Is that a strength of yours or something you take particular pride in?
I take a lot of pride in it, quite frankly. Sometimes I'm not the smartest guy, quite frankly, and you know, probably not the best communicator all the time. But there are moments where maybe something I've read or something I've seen or something like that sort of sparks a little fire inside of me that says, you know, that's something I need to share with the team. You know, and I think, too, these guys, I know what these guys are battling through each week. I mean, it's tough to win games in this league. And I've been there. I've been on teams that have done that. And I think to show a little bit of care and concern and love for the players goes a long way. And then they'll respond, you know, as they did last night.
I know you deal with Avante Maddox as much as you do the offensive players. But what is it about his approach to playing this game and coming in here and doing the job that you like about him?
He is, he's been a real consistent player for us, you know, outside of the injury and the setback, but even yesterday, and he's played multiple positions, which means he's in highly, intellectual guy that understands scheme. And, you know, he's a young player that's just going to continue to get better. And really excited for him last night to get in there and make the plays he did. The interception was a thing of beauty. And then, of course, you know, the end of the game to be in that position to sort of contest that throw. But this guy, he comes to work every day. He feeds off the veteran players. Malcolm's been a great leader for him, you know, back there in the back end. Corey Graham's been a leader for him back there, and he just continues to get better each day.
You mentioned these games are hard to win, all three phases. Quarterbacks get too much credit, too much blame, but as a
so do head coaches.
As a former quarterback, is there something to winning games when you see these quarterbacks with the great win-loss percentage? Is there something different about them?
I think they have a great handle on how to process, you know, sort of, you know, I know in Nick's case, former basketball player, and I know he said this before, he's like a point guard, you know, in basketball, and he just wants to distribute the ball. Or it doesn't matter where. It just wants to distribute the ball, and I think that's what you see characteristic, you know, of great quarterbacks in this league is how well they can do that. And you know, they don't get too high, they don't get too low, they kind of stay right in the middle. And if something negative happens in the game, they brush it off and want to come back to it again. They'll make it right the next time. And I think that's something that our quarterbacks have that type of demeanor, and it is one of Nick's strengths, obviously, and it showed last night.
You've seen Foles get on a roll, obviously, in the big drive. It looks like he might be starting that again. Do you have any apprehension about pulling him out if he's on one of these roles again? Because you mentioned it when Wes is healthy.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, obviously we hope that's a you know, it's one is a bridge we'll cross if we get there. We still got a lot of football left, but you know, right now we're gonna stay committed to this week. I'm not gonna look any further than just the Houston Texans this week, and I mean, you know, one day I'm sure we'll cross that bridge.
With Jermaine Jones, Siamalo, and Hicks, where are you with those guys?
All right, so Siamalo, he's getting better. Again, we'll see where he's at. He's close, but maybe not there this week, but he is getting close. Jordan Hicks, should expect him this week at practice on Wednesday. So we'll see where he is. Who's the other one? Jernigan's coming along. And you know, hopefully he can do something on Wednesday, you know, get him back in the mix. And the other one, I'm sorry, Sidney Jones. Sidney's probably more week to week. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody. How you doing? Well, that's good. My name is Bill Matz. I am the director of Fun and Games for Broad Street Hockey Radio Podcasts.
And I am Kelly, the deputy managing editor of BroadStreetHockey.com.
I'm Steph Driver, the NHL editorial manager for SB Nation.
And I am Charlie O'Connor, lead Flyers writer for TheAthletic.com.
And together we make up BSH Radio, one of the shows that you get at the SB Nation podcast family. We have a lot coming to you this year, and we want you to listen to our show. It is just an all Flyers, all the time show, so much content. I really hope you listen to it. It is a great piece of the SB Nation podcast family, along with all your other favorite sports.
We all love hockey, specifically the Flyers.
Let's go the Flyers.
The hockey team, the Flyers.